and we'll mute the dings coming in. Welcome, everyone. Marilyn is here tonight. She's going to do a talk on meditation, and we're going to do a meditation tonight. So welcome, everyone, and better just mute the calls. Hold on.
Okay, so for Marilyn, and just a technical thing, for Marilyn and Patty, would you unmute yourself?
Unmute. Okay.
Okay.
Mute on yet. I don't mute on for everyone.
Can you hear me, Marilyn and Patty?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and then you should be able to still hear me.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for being here on BBS and on the phone lines. This is Meditation Part 2. I want to introduce you to Patty Juarez, who lives in California. Can you say hi, Patty?
Hi, everybody.
Okay.
Hi,
Patty. Speak into the phone a little more, if you would.
Okay.
And then Marilyn Hausman, who lives in Pennsylvania, is with us. Marilyn, can you say hi?
Hello, everyone.
Okay,
hi.
I think, and then I'm Marilyn Lawrence from Flagstaff, Arizona. So the three of us are involved in looking at and sharing and being excited about meditation. We have started a meditation group that meets on Thursdays at 3. And you can, anybody can call in. It's open to everybody. We have rotating meditation so that each one of us, the two Marilyns and Patty, take turns leading the meditation. We also have a discussion afterwards. If you have your pencils, and I'll remind you at the end of the program, but the number to reach the meditation on Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, is 605-475-3250 with the access code 915180. Then we record only the meditation, not the discussion. And so if you are unable to be with us at 3 p.m. Pacific on Thursdays, you can call any time during the week and access the meditation for the week. And that number is 605-475-3257. Notice that it's only the last digit of the phone number that's changed, and the access code is the same. So I hope you will join us and be a part of our new endeavor. So I would like to start this evening with a quote from Joe Dispenza about what meditation can do for us. Meditation takes us from survival to creation, from separation to connection, from imbalance to balance, from emergency mode to growth and repair mode, and from the limiting emotions of fear, anger, and sadness to the expansive emotions of joy, freedom, and love. Basically, we go from clinging to the known to embracing the unknown. In other words, we move from illusion to reality. Last time we talked about the importance of meditation, and I read things from the introduction to Ra, the Law of One, the Ra material. And this time I would like to read a section from the introduction to that same book, but it is a little different take on meditation. Welcome to everybody that is coming in. We're sharing some readings from the introduction of the raw material as it refers to meditation. That's our subject for tonight. So the first one comes from page 32 of the introduction. We know how difficult it is to achieve the meditative state at all times. For we have been where you are, and we are aware that the particular type of illusion that you call physical is where you are. We urge you, therefore, to depend on meditation of a formal kind, then to attempt a semi-meditative state at all times. And by this, we mean simply to achieve a state of attention so that your destructive impulses are not free to clog your mind and keep you from learning the lessons you came to learn. So there's quite a bit in that paragraph. There are two types of meditation they're talking about there. One is a formal kind, and that I'm sure everybody is familiar with, and in of some kind of formal type of meditation. And the other is to be in a semi-meditative state at all times. That might not be as familiar. Marilyn and Patty, would you like to speak to any of that?
Well, yeah, I can respond to that. Practicing mindfulness as much as you can all the time is another way of thinking of meditation. When you're doing something, to be mindful at all times of what you're doing, rather than having your mind distracted. And for instance, if you're cooking something, to be mindful of what you're doing. If you're chopping onions, you're chopping onions. If you're just practice mindfulness in everything that you do. It's a form of meditation. And it's an easy way to pay attention and have your awareness mindful and not going all over the place and doing something with no thought whatsoever.
That puts the idea of multitasking down the list, doesn't it?
That's right. And, it's like like today when people are somewhere and they're with other people, they're on their phones. Someone's trying to get their attention or speak. They're not being mindful. They're somewhere else. And people, people feel it and they know it. So, just to practice mindfulness. When you're eating, be mindful. In every aspect of your life, the more mindful you can be, you'll be tapping into a higher state of consciousness.
Yeah, I think that brings us to the now when we do that, and that's one of the things that Terry's channeling last time mentioned was how important it is to be in the now.
Correct.
Patty, do you have anything you'd like to comment on?
Well, just that as you are paying attention to what you're actually doing in the moment, you will often, as part of that meditative process, catch yourself thinking about the grocery list or your to-do list or wanting to check your email, and you'll notice because you become an observer of yourself. As you become the observer, your consciousness changes and shifts positions. Instead of feeling that you are you, you actually see yourself as someone who's observing you. Your consciousness is observing your thought processes, and that's who you really are. And as an essence, you're really in your soul self when you're in that space. You're in your soul because you're observing yourself, your thinking, your thoughts that flit about, your wanting to go in two directions. You're observing all of this, and who you are is the observer of all of this.
Yeah, I think that's sometimes hard to to picture, but I think if you can picture that, it can really take you into a different space. One of the things that Terry said in the channeling from last time was that one of the first things to do in meditation is to learn to set things aside that do not have relevance, to be able to tune like a radio so that you can bring focus to what it is that you are wishing to clear and clear out of your space, or you are wishing to accept, or are wishing to know more about. And what I felt like she was talking about there was intention, and how important intention is, because it directs our focus. And then if we can clear our minds and our chakras, then we can direct that energy toward our intention. Do you guys have any comment on that?
I think it's important to be focused at all times, but it's very common that we're not focused on the task at hand, because there's so many things that are vying for our attention. There's, you know, thoughts about the day. There's media on our cell phone. There is the television set. There are kids. There are workers around us. So we live in a sea of distractions, and those distractions we develop a habit to be kind of addicted to those distractions. And so when you start becoming the observer, you notice them and let them go more readily. And it's almost like something like your hand skimming the surface of the water. It doesn't necessarily have to catch a lot of water like a cupped hand, but you sense all these things, but you're not getting caught up in them.
Yes, I think that's really clear. And I like that image of catching and being able to focus. One of the things that Wynn asked in the channeling last time was, what do you do when you meditate? And what were the practices that that people use? And was there anything better to use? What the sources said was that people can see what it is that works for them. So the permission I felt from that was to try out a number of different ways of meditating. And I think a lot of it matters what maybe some of your past lives were and what kind of meditation you practiced then. Sometimes I think I spent my last life in a cave just meditating. So she says, in this channeling, she says they can see what it is that works for them and then pay attention to what is actually there. And if mind chatter comes in, just observe it. Do not sit there and just say, shut up, because it probably won't, and just see what it is and let it dissipate and see if one can reach the silence that is at the core of their being and at the core of things. So if you take just a minute and you think about that, that there's silence at the core, and we're working to get to the silence. But the sources indicate that it's not good to force the silence. So, Marilyn, in your meditative experience in teaching, how did you get people to go beyond forcing? What were some of the techniques that you used?
Yeah, well, you do it with no you try to do it with no expectations, and you don't analyze or judge it. But I always that if you notice that if you have a thought, you just gently bring your attention back. I generally use paying attention to your breathing, your breath. And every time that you have a thought, you just recognize it as a thought, and then you gently, very gently bring your attention back to your breath. And you keep doing, and as you keep doing that over and over, it's pretty amazing. You know, soon, when you're practicing this on a regular basis, very soon that stops. You can, start to have, you have fewer and fewer distractions.
Okay, thank you. We have some interference on the line. So I see that mute is off. Would everybody at this moment please star six yourself so that any interference on the line will stop? So just star six. And then when we have the question and answer portion, when you're ready to talk, then you can just star six again, and you'll be ready to talk. Okay, thank you. So it appears that there are a number of things that we can meditate for. And we talked a little bit about intention. But there were three things in the channeling that happened last time that Terry talked about. And one purpose was to clear your space inside and probably outside. The second was to accept a situation so that that you can meditate in order to come to acceptance in some level. And then the third thing that she mentioned in the channeling was to know more about something. So supposing you wanted to know more about something that you're creating, something you're writing, or maybe something you're building, like, say, a sewing machine or something, you can meditate and get information that will assist you in your project. Patty, could you talk to us a little bit about some of the things that meditation has done for you?
Well, over many years, one of the first things that one learns upon reflection over the years is that you still, over a period of time, will occasionally have trouble focusing. You can meditate 35, 40 years, and it still comes up that you just sometimes it's hard to get into it. it's just like anything else in life. There's a little resistance, and it could be something that's pondering in the back of your mind that you need to release. And sometimes it's just whatever it is in the moment is maybe not the easiest or the best time because of other distractions and pressures. So you learn to work with wherever you're at and practice. Continual practice makes it better, makes it easier to let go, learning not to give up, and also taking whatever time you can. If it's 1 minute, taking a deep breath and letting it go slowly out your mouth, that's one quick form of meditation that relaxes your body. If you have 5 minutes to go to the bathroom and you're doing your duty, use that time to close your eyes and meditate and not get distracted, and it's a time away. I used to work in the corporate world, and I used to go to the ladies' room quite often just to take 5 minutes to take a break and sit on the bathroom seat and just meditate for 5 minutes where nobody would bother me. People would come and go, and then I'd go out, and I'd feel much better. 'Cause you can't meditate at your desk. There's just no way. People will walk up and interrupt you going, am I interrupting you?
Yeah. Of course.
But, you know, there comes a time when you slip into a zone, and when you slip into that zone, you know what's happened, and sometimes 5 minutes goes by, or it feels like 5 minutes, and you realize you've meditated for an hour, and it's amazing. And once it happens, you want more of it. And it's extremely relaxing, extremely refreshing. It's almost like you had a full night's sleep. 20 minutes of that kind of meditation can do a lot for your body and reset your whole attitude. And also, you become detached from things that used to push your buttons. You now realize that the buttons aren't there to be pushed anymore. That may take a little time. It may not happen overnight. But I encourage people to keep a journal of your changes, your perceptions, your experiences, or the phenomena that occur. Especially the longer you meditate, you're going to experience spiritual changes, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling with your spiritual senses instead of the five physical senses, and not expect them to happen, but just realize they come and they go just like anything else. And they may have something to give you as a gift, and sometimes they just happen with whatever reason in the moment, and then never happen for five more years. But enjoy the benefits, because you're really in communion with your soul. You're in communion with Source at that point in time.
It really does lift you above the physical, and so much of our problems and opportunities are just purely physical. But if we can get beyond, then we can see a way out. One of the ways I've used meditation is if I'm working on a project and I get stuck, I can leave it and go off and spend 5 minutes quieting, not thinking about it at all. And then when I come back to the project, I find the answer is simple. And I know that I've been somewhere else, even though I don't know where that is exactly. And there, the answer came back with me.
Marilyn, there's one other point I'd like to make, and that is, when you're meditating, some people have asked me, well, how do you know you've really meditated? And all I can say is that there's one sign that occasionally occurs, and that is you have a sense of no time when you come back into your present state of time. You know, you can be in the meditative state. You can hear dogs barking and the birds chirping, and you'll be in a meditative state, but you're present. But then there are times when you go very deep, deep in, and you'll come out, and it, like I said before, it feels like 5 minutes went by and it was an hour or two, mm-hmm. and you feel that you're missing time, and that there's no time between the time you went in and the time you came out. You go, well, it must have been just a second ago, but time has been erased. You've got an hour or two gone. And so that's kind of a sign that you know you've succeeded. But it doesn't have to be consistent. Sometimes it's a rare occurrence, and sometimes it's frequent. It all depends on experience, and sometimes it comes and sometimes it goes.
Yes, that's really true about the time loss. One of the other things that is good for is pain. And often if a person will be able to release their body while they're in meditation, they don't experience the pain. And then when they come back, they tend to pick back up their body and the pain. But you can also leave it and or lessen it some. I know one time I discovered that what I discovered in meditation was that the pain that I was experiencing was non-local. That is, it really wasn't in my foot. It really wasn't in my leg. It was in my mind. And that was a huge help to me in moving beyond that pain.
There's also, Marilyn, times when I've experienced pain in my body since I've been disabled, where in the meditation I actually felt a shot of energy go out the sole of my foot, like down one leg, and shoot out, almost like an electrical current. And it felt like something left me. And I can't describe it other than it felt like a electrical shock that went down one leg and went out the sole of my foot. And the next thing I know is I'm having less problems with that side of my body, and I have less pain. So sometimes in meditation, you'll have releases, and it can take all kinds of forms. Sometimes I've come out of meditation yawning constantly, and that's another form of release. Or sometimes you could have a bout of gas, my dear,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that's another form of release. So when you have these sensations, sometimes your body is letting go of stuff, and it doesn't matter what it's letting go of. You just know that your life has just changed after a while. You notice there's a difference.
Yes, one of the things that meditation does actually physically and can be measured is raise your frequency. And so the higher the frequency that you're vibrating at, that your body is vibrating at, the less that you are your heavy body in this density. So it really is a way to actually move into fourth density, which is kind of exciting.
And
I'd like to add
it also works on a cellular level, meditation. So as you meditate, and it does help with pain, but it also helps, it changes your, it works on your cells. So it can be very beneficial for all of those things when you have certain issues that you want to address.
Yeah, that's a great point. You had a whole list of things that meditation helped. Can you say those for us?
I know it lowers your stress and fatigue. It reduces your stress hormones, and that is something that causes a lot of physical disease or dis-ease, as they say it. I know it decreases your heart rate. It can strengthen your immunity. It improves your immune system. It can benefit your brain's emotional processing. It does help you better control processing of pain and emotions, and it lowers blood pressure. It quiets your breath, and when you quiet your breath and your breath settles down, and your mind settles down, you begin to experience, changes in your consciousness and your body.
And your body, yeah. And that was what Joe Dispenza was referring to, and the first quote that I read was that meditation could change from the survival mode to the repair and fix mode.
Yeah, that's a reset of your autonomic nervous system.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Yeah, so I've practiced that. I've practiced some of those things that Joe Dispenza teaches, and it works. It's true. It works.
It is quite amazing. That's true. Well, the second quote that I wanted to read from the introduction of the raw material is this little paragraph where Ra suggests what to meditate on. And I thought this was very interesting. Meditate upon the complete unity of yourself and all that you see. Do this not once and not simply in present circumstances, but at all times, and especially in different circumstances. For insofar as you love and feel at one of those things which are difficult for you, to that extent will those circumstances be alleviated. This is not due to any laws within our physical illusion, but it is due to the law of love for that body which our physical illusion, which is of spirit, which is interpenetrated with the physical body, is higher than your physical body, and those changes which you make by love upon your spiritual body will of necessity reflect themselves within the physical illusion. So that may be a little obtuse there, but I thought it was fascinating that what he was saying is that as we meditate on the unity of us with everything about us, that then our physical bodies change because of the love aspect that we are expressing. He goes on to say, "All is one, my friends. My voice is now the voice of this instrument. My thoughts are her thoughts. Please believe that the vibrations we offer to you is not a vibration of personality, but a vibration of the Creator. We are also channels. There is only one voice. Within this vibration, we are self-consciously aware that this voice is the voice of the Creator. It is simply a matter of lifting vibrations which are not so self-aware of the Creator. All things will eventually come into harmony in relation to your understanding." So all is one. All is one. And that is one of the things that can be realized through meditation. Because it's really hard to think that the neighbor that mows their lawn at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning when you want to sleep in is a part of you. And it's hard to be in a difficult relationship and realize that the other person that is causing so much pain is a part of you. But meditation can help in that respect. So, Patty, do you or Marilyn have anything you'd like to say about that?
Yeah, the thought that occurred to me, too, is that as time goes on, I've experienced episodes where I am feeling at-one-ment with all that is. And in that sense of at-one-ment, I notice that my whole life feels like I'm living in a virtual reality that's responsive, directly responsive to my thoughts, to my feelings, to my emotions, to my sense of direction. And it will change the second I refocus or change direction. Everything around me changes. It's almost like working on a computer, but it's my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does take place in your life, and you realize how responsive you are to life, and life is responsive to you. Now, it won't be every single day, but you'll find instances where it can last for an hour or a few minutes or a couple of days, and it will be pretty amazing.
Yes, I've experienced that. Have you experienced that, Marilyn?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you all can see that meditation is, first of all, important from the source's point of view, that it can do a variety of things for you. And another thing that the raw material said was important was that it was a preparation for service. And since we have chosen pretty much, I imagine, a service to others for everybody on this call, meditation then is a preparation for our being able to serve in a way that raises the vibrations of the whole planet. What I'd like to do now is have people make comments, people on the line make comments, ask questions, tell about your meditation experiences or something that you would like to share with us. So let's open the lines, and I'd like to hear from you. And I know you all won't speak at once.
I have a question. What about posture during meditation, your physical posture?
Well, I have something to say about that. I think you can. The most important thing is to have your spine straight. when you're meditating, because you want your prana, chi, whatever you want, kundalini, your energy to flow from the bottom of your spine to the top of your head. So that's the most important thing, is to always sit in some position where your spine is straight. You can choose any. You could sit in a straight chair. You could sit on the floor with your back against the wall, or any. Usually, it's best to be sitting up, but some people can't do that because they have situations where they can't, their body isn't that mobile. But that's the most important thing, is keeping the spine straight.
And you can do it lying down, actually.
You can do it lying down. I would suggest that only lying down, if that's the only way you can meditate. If you're a medical condition where you cannot stand or sit up, because problem with lying down is you have a tendency to fall asleep.
Well, it's not true for everybody, Marilyn.
Huh?
It's not true for everyone. I know several people who meditate lying down. Some of them, granted, have back issues, but it doesn't matter as long as your spine is straight, whether it's sitting up or lying down. So I don't want to discourage
people. It could be like a reclining chair, leaning back like an officer, as long as you're straight.
Yeah, because your spine will be straight. Your spine will be straight in a reclining chair. Yeah,
okay.
Or a chaise lounge, yeah.
Well, people seem to associate lying down with sleeping. And, people have a tendency to doze off and fall asleep faster when they're lying down rather than sitting up. Sitting up is a posture that keeps your awareness a little more alert.
But I don't want to mislead people, Marilyn, because some people can fall asleep sitting in a chair. So don't mislead people either.
Well, that's true, Patty. Joe Dispenza recommends that if you are having trouble staying awake meditating, that you definitely sit up. That you do associate sleeping with laying down.
Uh-huh.
He also recommends two times a day to meditate. One is when you first wake up in the morning, and you can lay in bed and do a short meditation. And the other is when you're just going to sleep at night, and you can lay in bed and do a meditation there. And the reason that he recommends that is because your brain is changing frequency, so that you're either going into sleep or coming out of sleep, and it's easier to get past the analytical mind and into the subconscious and beyond.
And that's
with
the best time.
And
that's the best time to lay focus on some desires or wishes you wish to manifest and plant the seeds at those times.
Yes, it's really very helpful, because your mind is already moving in those longer brainwave functions.
But to be honest, whatever your habit is, or whatever you want to make your habit, even if it's lying down, I never meditate sitting up. I always meditate sitting down, laying down. And I find it effective for me. I've known other people to do the same. But what's your habit? So if you make it a habit to lay down, then you will meditate as a habit, lying down, because that's where your consciousness goes. And it's whatever you train yourself to do. So don't limit anybody's thoughts about that. That's what I wanted to make clear.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next person. Thank you for that, Don, for your question.
Okay. Well, nobody else had anything. When I'm falling asleep, and you guys kind of just touched on it, but I like to hold some sort of a metaphysical thought as I'm falling asleep. And would you consider that meditation? It sounds like you would, from what you guys just said. But
Yes,
I think that could be classed as meditation. What Terry said in the channeling was to pay attention to what you're doing and see how that affects you. So if you feel like that is working, then it probably is. See what it is. She says, see what it is that works for you. Pay attention to what is actually there. And she says that several times. The sources say that several times in the reading. To pay attention to what is actually there and become the observe that.
Marilyn?
Yes, Joni?
Joni. I would like to know if anyone would like to describe any of their experiences while meditating. I'm not wanting someone to give me a guideline of what to expect because, you know, each person's an individual. But I would be curious to know what type of changes they may have experienced while they're meditating.
Could I address that, Marilyn?
Sure, go ahead.
I keep a journal for all my experiences, dreams, meditations, visual phenomena, whatever happens in my life. And I've often told the story on other places where if you're of my age, born as a baby boomer, you might remember Mr. Magoo as a cartoon character. And I feel that my life, I'm often living my life like Mr. Magoo. You know, he could go into a construction site and walk in places that you think he's going to get killed, and then he walks out totally unscathed. Everything works out perfectly, and he laughs at the end, and everything's fine. Well, that sometimes has been my experience in life. I feel like I live in Magooville, is what I told Marilyn one time, because my life takes on that flavor of Mr. Magoo. Things just go correctly, even though I've done all the wrong things. And I attribute that to meditation because I've noticed that there are times when I hear voices or I hear a sentence or a word and I will write it. I will try to remember it. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And when I do, I'll write it down. Often it's been in a foreign language. I've also seen things, had flashes of vision of things that haven't happened yet. I had a flash of somebody at my front door, a stranger, and I didn't know who they were. And about a week later, this guy shows up, and he's the guy that was in my vision. Mm. You know, it was just somebody that came to my door as a solicitor, not anything important, but I had caught in a flash of it ahead of time in my meditation. Another time, I have smelled smells. I've smelled tobacco. I've more like cigar tobacco kind of thing. I've also smelled pipe tobacco, like a cherry pipe tobacco. And I've had experiences where I see flashes of light, like somebody just flashed a flashlight in front of my eyes. But there's nothing. My eyes are closed and I'm deep in meditation, but it's almost like a light went flashing and flying right by my eyes. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that I've experienced. But the biggest shift for me was to feel how within my consciousness, being in a meditative state, the world is so much more responsive to me and my thoughts, like I live in Magooville. That's the biggest aha I've ever had, and I love when that happens. It comes and it goes, but I love when that happens. Thank you.
Yeah, that is totally cool. Well, I have had experience with, I've been doing a meditation, a Hindu meditation, with drums in the background that align the chakras. And it's really very rhythmic and soothing. And when I am able to actually follow that all the way through, it feels like each chakra clicks into space and opens up. And then by the time that I have gotten to the point of the meditation where the energy spills over the top and then and goes back down in this kind of liquid wave, I find that I'm in really a very different frame of mind. And it's like sun on fresh spring morning. It's just something that really, if I could describe it, I wouldn't have really been there. But I think you can kind of get that. But it is a physical kind of clicking into line with this meditation. And I do think that different meditations do different things. Mm-hmm. And so part of meditating and getting an experience or having a response of some kind come to you is your intent for meditating. Mm-hmm. And the biggest intent, I think, the best intent for meditating is to recognize, realize, and live the oneness.
Marilyn?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Edna?
Yeah.
You want
yeah.
Which Marilyn?
Oh, I just have one more. I have a comment. So
okay, good. Yes, comment.
I was just testing to see if you can hear me. So anyway, my comment is, I have been helping others over the years, you know, who'd like to get into meditation. And one thing I noticed, many people get frustrated because, you know, the thoughts come and they don't get there. And it's very hard for many people to stop the chatting in their minds, right? So, and what I used to say is just do again and again and again. Do 10, 20, 50 times, 100 times. More you do, you'll get there. It's just a matter of persistence. And many people, you know, get to the point, say, I cannot do it. But if you are a persistent and you stay and try and continue, I am sure you're going to get there. It's just a matter of.
Yeah, that's usually the most difficult thing for most people when they begin.
Exactly.
But it does, with practice, you can get through that. Once you get through that, it's wonderful.
Yes, persistence, right? And then the other comment I was going to make is that so experiences I had when I meditate, so I it's amazing, it's beautiful. I see flashes of light, and sometimes I see objects. For example, I saw the one time I was meditating, I saw a tablet, so in a stone tablet with all these beautiful symbols, and to me it's like, oh, it's very familiar, but when I open my eyes, I have no idea why it's so familiar, but to me, something probably in my past life I have seen it. And I also smell, many times I am meditating, I smell perfume, or a beautiful smell, roses, or something like a nice smell. And and the other things are also I get out of the meditation, I realize that I know something that I didn't know before. And then many times I don't know if I already knew about that situation or it just came to me through the meditation, because I make a comment about something that I believe to know, and somebody said, no, I didn't say you anything like that. So, and then I realized, it came through the meditation. But see, once it is in your brain, you cannot identify anymore if it's something you already knew or something that new that came to you now that you know, you know. It's interesting. So I have many situations. I think I know that. So I already talked about it, and the person would say no. But, you know, and then you realize that, that's one of those incidents that it just came to me.
Yes, yes. Well, there's a name for that I learned. It's called clair knowledge. Like, that's one of the gifts that I think that we could all use in meditation. Well, you also, Edna, had a meditation practice that when we talked on one of the fourth Mondays. Would you like to share that?
Well, yeah, I think the practice, what I really do is paying attention to the breathing. That's for, you know, if somebody is really very new to it. And it's the best way, and again, persistence. That's the way I would say. If you, once more, you get involved and you evolved and you do better and better, time is gonna just sit there, and then you open your eyes, it's just an hour and a half passed, and didn't realize it. It's just a normal thing that happens. And you're going to get very much, very grounded and feeling really amazing. You know, I just want to carry that throughout the day. So that's the techniques I use. And I have been doing for many, many years, and it wasn't easy at the beginning, but, you know, the persistence had to pay off. So.
I think that's why they call it practice, a practice, that it's you never really get it and have and are done with it. It's just something that we practice. And as we raise our vibrations through meditation, we raise the vibrations of the entire planet and that and everybody in it. So not only is it something good for us, but it's good for everybody. We have time for one more comment, and then we're going to do a short meditation to close out the evening. So anybody
Very quick. Also, once you're meditating, you're opening chakras, so very much so. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Edna.
Marilyn? I also wanted to tell people quickly that Sounds True just finished a meditation summit with 30 of the world's biggest meditation teachers. So if you go to Sounds True, you can read who was there and then sign up so you can pay attention for it for next year.
Yes, and also many of those on the Sounds True are also available with meditations on YouTube, and
right.
It's free. So it's really wonderful. I'd like to give the number again for the meditation for Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific. The number is 605-475-3250 with the access code 915180. It's not hard. You don't have to do anything. We have a variety of meditations, and everyone is welcome. If you want to replay it, we do record the meditation only. And if you want to play it during the week, or you can't make it at 3, the number is 605-475-3257. And this access code is the same. So what I would like to bring in closing is a small meditation, something that you can do anywhere, anytime. It's called Quick Coherence Technique for Adults and is put forth by Heart Math. And it is a heart meditation and is very simple. So what I'd like everyone to do is to sit or lie with your spine straight. Take a couple of deep breaths, clear your mind. Imagine that we are all in a big circle. You have a person on your left and a person on your right, and it goes all the way around, and we're all connected. Now, as you take a deep breath, breathe a little lower, a little deeper than you usually do. Take a couple of those and focus on the area around your heart. You can put your hand over your heart if you like, but just put your focus there and feel your breath. As you breathe slowly in and slowly out, just in a normal breathing way, imagine that you actually are breathing in through your heart and out through your heart.